This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills have wrapped up their brief workout today. They worked outside the Ad Pro Sports Training Center. They leave tomorrow for Dallas and Thursday's game against the 6-5 Cowboys. Center Mitch Morse limited today with his hand. Sean McDermott says he's not sure what his status will be for the game. Wide receiver Robert Foster limited as well with his hamstring. And Ty Nsekhe, Bills starting right tackle, is out. Was out today. He's not likely to practice or play this week. Cowboys are going to be without their starting nose tackle, Antoine Woods, and without linebacker Leighton Vander Esch. Bills, Cowboys, Thursday, 4:30 p.m., AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. We've got the broadcast here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll be in the booth with Eric Woods. Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines. Former Bills head coach Hank Bulla passed away last night. He was 85. He coached the Bills for 21 games in parts of the 1985 and 1986 seasons. He succeeded Kay Stevenson early in the 85 season and was replaced by Marv Levy in 86. Four wins, 17 losses. He was an icon at Michigan State University, his alma mater, and spent most of his life there around East Lansing, the home of Michigan State University. Hank Bulla passes away at the age of 85. Pro Football Hall of Fame is out with its list of 25 semifinalists of modern era players for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2020. And our man Steve Tasker, sitting right next to me, is on that list. Steve has been a semifinalist before in his Pro Football Hall of Fame eligibility, seven times, in fact, but he has not been a semifinalist since 2013. He is now Steve Tasker, one of the 25 semifinalists. They'll reduce the list to 15 finalists. They'll announce that January 2nd in the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2020 will be announced on Selection Saturday, the day before the Super Bowl, February 1st. I know you want to say something.
Day when you got me in the
Sit
sports
tight.
Update.
Yeah, at least you're not on the police blotter where you usually have been. Bengals are going back to Andy Dalton, the quarterback, and the Sabres are home tomorrow night against Calgary. They lost at Tampa Bay last night. And there you go, the update.
Sports
don't break into the update again.
Is it a
I've
sports,
told you.
It's sports news at a standstill when I make the update.
It's big news. Happy to have our guest on the line with us. We thank him for being flexible today. He's on at 2 o'clock instead of 1. He is the host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt joins us. Kyle, John Murphy, and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thrilled to be on, and I can't go any further without commenting on this. We know that there has been a development in the Hall of Fame, and I wish I could have spoken about this earlier, but I'm thrilled to speak with you. As you know, I'm talking, of course, about Mr. John Murphy going into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which I'm thrilled about. I don't know what Steve has done in his life. I'm not familiar with his work, but you, my friend, are the Hall of Famer. Not a semifinalist, an actual Hall of Famer.
Oh,
that's
Kyle,
why
that
he's
is,
our
that
favorite.
That is over the top.
That
Thank
is
you
why
so much,
he's
Kyle.
Our favorite.
You're
right
kidding. You heard the update. You know the news. Steve is a semifinalist.
I know
pretty
the
cool.
news. You went in September. I heard you give a great speech. No, listen. Here's my thoughts about Steve. And Steve, I've always respected as a player and broadcaster, and now you're very modest about this. But my take is and has always been, with respect to guys like Bill Bates, Matthew Slater, who's still doing it, you are the best special teams player I've ever seen. And I mean that. I grew up watching you. I watched you through high school and college. And my take on the Hall of Fame is, whether you are a quarterback or a long snapper, if you are the best to ever do it, you are in. Now, that applies to certainly Ray Guy, certainly Adam Vinatieri. I've always been very strong in the fact that I think Devin Hester is a Hall of Famer because he's bar none the best return man I've ever seen. And that would apply to you. All jokes aside, very thrilled to hear you're a semifinalist again. It's exactly where you should be. If I had a vote, I don't. I would vote for you, Steve.
Well, I appreciate it. It's nice. And thanks for the kind words. And we'll
of course.
Yeah. It's not gonna change. In fact, I was just you heard me on my family is tweeting me, making sure the dogs have been fed today and you know all that. So they're making because we just got back from a trip, you know, that we took out of town over the weekend. So we're making no crickets on my phone. So it's right where I need to be.
If the call comes to go to Canton, I know that you'll have a very long future on this program, or you'll move to Barbados 2 seconds after you become a Hall of Famer. And I hope you stay.
There you go. Now you're talking my language. Look, we saw you. Listen, we catch you every. You're like regular. You guys are regular viewing. Good Morning Football is the best show on TV. Yeah. It's a staple for anybody who's a big NFL fan. You guys have a lot of energy. You do a lot of stuff. One thing I was shocked to see, though, you lost a bet and you wore Keenan Allen's jersey this morning. You got to wear it all week.
Yeah. All right. Let me get into this because it's only Tuesday and it's already killing me. Back in the offseason, you might remember that the Chiefs added Frank Clark and they added a couple pieces. Keenan Allen, the very good LA Chargers receiver, had this comment about, well, I see their DB room and I'm not too worried about it. I went on TV and said, really, Keenan, I think the Chiefs are kind of a punching bag. I'm going to stick up for their defense. You've only scored one touchdown ever in your career against the Chiefs, so you don't have much to talk. Keenan Allen did not appreciate that. He expressed himself on Twitter really aggressively. And I said, I'll tell you this way. You guys play the Chiefs way, way in November in Mexico. Keenan, if you score a touchdown against the Chiefs, which you really never do, I will wear your jersey for an entire show. No, for an entire week on Good Morning Football. Of course, he scores like a 3-yard touchdown in Mexico and at the end of a loss. The second the game's over, Keenan Allen is tweeting me, guys, after a loss in another country, tweeting me saying, don't write checks, your bleak can't cash, you better do it. So you are talking to me now in a week in which I am wearing a powder blue Chargers jersey, all show, every show, on a holiday week, and in a week in which the Chargers aren't really relevant. So if I sound like I'm annoyed about it, I am, because the thing already stinks and it's only 2 days in.
We're with Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network, the host of Good Morning Football. Let's get you talking about the Buffalo Bills and this week's game. Kyle, I heard you say this week that this is the game. You were asked if Sunday's Bills win over Denver was a statement. Was a statement with that win? And you say no, but this week could be. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Murph, the Bills got their tuxedos all pressed. They're going to get their hair done. They get their nails done. This is the 2019 Buffalo Bills coming out party. We've talked about this a lot, but I talk about it in the morning as well. I'm of the humble opinion, I don't think there has been an 8-3 team in history that has been viewed less than this Bills team. No primetime games, not even a late window 4 o'clock kickoff. It's only been 1 o'clock Sunday games against, let's be honest, a lot of teams that don't jump off the marquee. I think people all around the country have not seen the Bills. I think they know a few of them from their fantasy teams, maybe two or three of them. But on Thursday, it's national, baby. And it's not just national. It's as big as it gets. Jerry World on Thanksgiving against a very beatable Dallas Cowboys team that right now the coach and the owner are about to be in a slap fight. So I'm thrilled to be on the Buffalo Bills show right now, because I think in 2 days they're going to be on a lot of shows, because I think this is the one. It's coming out time.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett have been a little bit at odds. Jerry came out and, you know, kind of laid it at the feet of the coaches the way they played in New England in a 40-degree rainstorm.
Yeah.
If the Bills were to go in there and win this game in Dallas, do you think Jason might not survive the weekend?
He shouldn't. And that's hard for me to say. Let me personalize this for a second. Jason Garrett and I went to the same college. We played for the same football program. We were in the same club in college. We run in a lot of the same circles in the alumni circles. I have every reason to be an apologist for Jason Garrett. I just can't do it. How could I possibly do that? It seems to me that when you have a 12-4 talent and you're looking to be a 9-7 team, you have to stop and say, what's going on here? I look at the Cowboys. They have really fancy, expensive ingredients, expensive wide receivers, running back, pass rushers. They got this star quarterback. The ingredients are great, and the food is crappy. And you, after a while, you have to start saying, should we look at the chef? I know he's been in the family for a while, and he's Jerry's son and Steven's brother, and he's a good guy who's respected. The result is not there. And people have said this for years. Why could this year be different? A couple of reasons. One, Jerry's been writing some huge checks this year, more than ever. The pass rusher, the linebacker, the running back, the quarterback check has yet to come. So he is a businessman above all. And when he's spending that kind of money not getting the results, guys, it just feels like he's buying this very expensive piece of technology and the thing doesn't damn work and he wants to return it. This is a different year for the Cowboys. And I don't think they'll fire Jason Garrett midseason, Steve. I just don't think he has it in him. You may see an assistant fired. You may see even a coordinator somehow. But I think they'll ride or die, and I think it's a mistake.
Kyle, you and Jason Garrett in one of those snooty eating clubs at Princeton, is that what you've just admitted to us?
It's so snooty, Murph. You know the exact term for it, the eating clubs. Yeah. We were both a member of what's called the Cottage Club in Prince University, which is incredibly pretentious and snooty, yes. But he was in the same club I was. And so we're like, I can't tell you the secret handshake or anything like that, but we're de facto brothers. And here I am on One Bills Live saying he should probably be fired. That's so amazing. I won't be involved in the club anymore. I'm
done. We drummed out of the eating club.
Well, I got to ask you, the Bills got to 8-3, and they beat, yeah. 2 weeks ago was the Dolphins, and they kind of thumped them. They beat this Denver Bronco team, who had the number 4 defense in the league, beat them by 17 points, and it really was never in doubt. They rushed for 244 yards. I mean, Murph and I talk about it every day. The Bills, yep, certainly a soft schedule, no problem, no question about it, but they have grown, and they're a much different football team now than they were at the beginning of the year. Josh Allen is playing differently. Now when if they get a weak opponent, it's over early, and I think it spells pretty good things, even though it is a really tough schedule coming down the stretch.
It's funny, Steve. I can tell it's a tedious topic for you. It's a tedious topic for me, this idea that the Bills are 8-3 if they haven't played anyone. And I can also tell you it's tedious for the players themselves. We've had a couple of Buffalo Bills on Good Morning Football lately. We had John Smokey Brown today, right, and we sure enough asked him the same question. John, you're 8-3, but you beat the Redskins and the Broncos and the Dolphins. What do you say to this concept that you guys are what I like to call fake good? And they all say the same thing. You can tell they don't like the question. And they all say, listen, we play who's on the schedule, the cliche. And I think to your point, Steve, I think the greatest case study in this is the two times that they played the Dolphins. And the first time they played the Dolphins, it was dicey. They were down. It was not pretty early. And we're like, well, that didn't look so good. Second time they do them, it's not a competitive game. So thank God we have, if not a great team, at least the one that gets a lot of attention, and the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Thursday, because I'm sick of the whole they haven't beaten anybody either.
We're with Kyle Brandt, NFL Network. He is the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. I saw the John Brown segment this morning, Kyle, and I saw you dancing, right? You were kind of mimicking his touchdown dance. Is that what that was?
All right, so let me put it this way. John Brown is all business, all right? Yeah. He's not there to go into anecdotes or to tell you. He's there to say, we're here to win and I'm here to work. So you guys know this. You'll get into an interview.
We had him here yesterday.
I don't know, the fifth or sixth minute. Yeah, and you got to pull out the circus act. Yeah. So sure enough, we pull up the peanut butter jelly dance or whatever the heck he calls it. And John Brown on the point said, well, let's see you do it. So listen, I'm 40. I'm not in the best shape of all time. The pants are a little bit tight. And I'm suddenly in somewhere dance off with Smokey Brown and looking like an imbecile. But anything to save the segment. I promise I will work on it. I think John was openly laughing at me, and I'll always do anything for a laugh on the show. So I'm glad you are impressed, Murph. I'd like to see you do that.
You're a show business professional. I'm not, clearly. I wouldn't have to do that.
That's sure good. I am.
One of the things that also happened this last week, and we've been talking about this too, is Frank Gore passing Barry Sanders. And you know, Frank, there's always people who will criticize him because he's played for so long. Of course, his numbers are going to be good. And I just told Murph this last segment, one of the great numbers about Frank Gore's career is 16 years playing running back. That in and of itself is a Hall of Fame accomplishment. Forget about this 15,200 yards that he's got. That really is something to think about when you watch these games up close. What a brutal way to make a living for 16 years.
It's amazing. And it's not just running back. It's a term that gets lost these days, which is feature back. I mean, we were focused so much now on the end of Frank Gore's career. Let's not forget the beginning. The guy with knee problems at Miami. The guy who was an afterthought around guys like Edgerrin James, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee. I mean, he was kind of the also-ran. There's like, oh, and Frank Gore is really good. Not a first-round pick. Not a second-round pick. Knee problems, red flags throughout his whole approach to the draft. And then I say feature back because, I mean, there was a time, and there's still a few, but there was a time that position, you'd have guys who pass blocked, who run blocked, who caught, who threw if they need to, who ran, like who don't come off the field, who don't do the, well, you know, it's 3rd and 9, I'll go off the field so I can have the receiving running back. You know, Frank Gore has a niche role now, But for years and years, he would do everything. And I've always respected it. And it's interesting because when you hear the aggregator word or whatnot, it's like people seem to be speaking against him because he's played so long. I mean, him and Adrian Peterson have just come from different cores completely. I've never seen something like it. And you saw him on the other day. He's not struggling through the hole and just racking up a few charity numbers. He's still moving chains, have burst. It's awesome. I mean, it's really cool. I just think, like, I know this is the era of judgment, and you can bring up the greatest thing in the world and everybody hates it. If you don't like Frank Gore and you don't respect everything he's done, you don't like yourself. I mean, he's an awesome, he's like a football saint for me. I absolutely love him.
Kyle, I'll tell you who likes him is the Bills' really number one running back now, Devin Singletary, who will credit Frank Gore as having a major impact on the Singletary's emergence now. He is the Bills' primary offensive threat now, I believe.
It's a godsend. I mean, it's a godsend for him. Singletary looks like he's got a burst. He looks flashy. He looks fast. I mean, the stats against the Broncos were fantastic. I know it was the best of his career. And then every day he gets to sit next to a guy who's one of the greatest to ever do it, a guy who's had more yards than Barry Sanders. The future's really, really bright. If he can step his game up, get bigger, get stronger, I love what Singletary does. And I always feel like, you know, throughout the season, there's been a little more like, man, I wish we had more Singletary. He was banged up a little bit. I wish he could be featured more. Maybe that's not such a bad thing that he hasn't ran up this huge carry total through September, through October, because as we know, they're going to be in January and they're going to see somebody. It could be, who knows? It could be New England, Houston, Kansas City. It could be Baltimore. And they're going to need someone who is fresh, who is ready to have 20 touches in a playoff game. And that could be the guy.
All right, now I got a question to ask you about this Dallas game. So say you're a really pretty good player, and or maybe you're just a carpenter, and you build this really nice house, and you're really productive, and the house turns out awesome, and it looks fantastic. But then your boss, the general contractor, comes up and hands the keys to the owner. They give him all the credit, and they ship you off somewhere. So Cole Beasley's going back to Dallas. And he's going to play, and he's going to play against his old team. But put yourself in his shoes.
I love, listen, Steve, you might only be a semifinalist right now, but you are a Hall of Famer of analogies. First ballot guy, all right? The last time you brought up an analogy was something about your aunt who visits for the holidays and wants to kiss you on the lips. I love it. And I also love the DIY thing. Listen, Cole Beasley, I remember the rap on him. Nice little receiver, deceptively fast. You know, he's a product of the Zeke running game. Take him out of Dallas without the star in his helmet and Dak Prescott and whatnot. I don't know if he'll make plays. He looks pretty good to me. He looks like he's peaking at the exact right time. And I know Cole Beasley is a guy who's really motivated, who might run a little hot, who's prone to dropping rhymes. He may have a few rhymes about the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, and he should, because I just saw Amari Cooper, as good as he is, get shut out. Completely shut out in the Dallas Cowboys' last game against the Patriots. So I'm looking for Cole Beasley to have a huge game. Between him and Singletary, they're kind of the running back receiver version of themselves, undersized guys with chip on their shoulder who run fast. I like it, and I hope he goes off.
Kyle Brandt with us from NFL Network. Just looking ahead a little bit, after the Bills are finished in Dallas, they get Baltimore here. Baltimore's got to play the 49ers in what should be a pretty big game this week. Are the Ravens going to be spent by the time they get to Buffalo December 8th?
It's a good question. You know, we brought it up this morning. The Ravens are just lights out. They're unconscious. Nobody can even keep up with them. But you see it year in, year out about peaking at the right time. The question is 6 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, the Ravens still going to have this much juice? It's tough to say no. Here's the thing. We could talk about them all day, and we could say, how do you stop these guys? They have gone against Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Romeo Crennel, Wade Phillips, some of the Hall of Fame guys, great defensive minds. And in those four games, Lamar Jackson has 13 touchdowns and zero interceptions. He's playing flawless, flawless football. The only thing I can come up with, the only way to really stop him maybe, is if you had a D-line of just absolute four Wolverines who could absolutely kill you. And maybe the Niners have that. Maybe their D-line is that good. But any question you could answer me right now, the answer is Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying anybody's stopping him, because I saw Aaron Donald, who's the best player in football, and he was a distant afterthought on his home field last night against Lamar. So I like Baltimore against San Francisco right now. I like Baltimore against anybody right now.
Yeah, could this game between the Ravens and the 49ers be a preview of the Super Bowl? It certainly looks that way now. I mean, these two teams are on a collision course, and this is going to be a fun game to watch this weekend.
Oh, it's fantastic. This is your regular season Super Bowl. It certainly could be a preview, but there's a ton of questions to be answered. And I think that, you know, I look at, nobody knows better than Buffalo, but I look at Bill Belichick right now, and I think one of the great challenges of this era of his career is, can he stop Lamar the second time around? Can they come up with a game plan to do it? Because there's not much to challenge Bill Belichick anymore. How many Super Bowls he's been to? How many has won? The challenge is the greatest athlete to ever play quarterback, it appears right now, Lamar Jackson, coming in again and getting a second shot of him. So as much as I would love a San Francisco-Baltimore rematch, really, in the Super Bowl, I think I would love to see it. New England, too. I'd love to see a lot of teams. There's still a lot of questions to be answered. Let's not crown Baltimore yet. I still think there's New England is the thing.
See if the Bills answer some questions on Thanksgiving Day. You have said on the show the other day, Kyle, that the Bills will make a statement on Thursday. Some of your partners on Good Morning Football weren't ready to go that far. But you think this – are you predicting a Buffalo victory in Dallas?
I'm not predicting it, Steve. I'm guaranteeing it. The Buffalo Bills will beat the Dallas Cowboys. And never mind my partners on Good Morning Football. And let me assure you, as much as I love my two brothers and my sister, they have seen 5 seconds of Buffalo Bills football all year. They're off doing the primetime games and the more prestigious teams, and they're all much bigger than me, those guys. Believe me, they're like, what, the Bills? Oh, they still play football in Western New York? I'm telling you, they will do it. Except for Kay. Kay knows the Bills. But I do think the Bills will beat the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're a better team. I don't know if they have a better roster. I don't really care. I think the Bills will beat the Cowboys on Thursday, and the Bills will be a much, much bigger deal in this country on Friday.
I got to ask you something, too. Something that jumped off the page. You go down and you check the scores, you know, on your phone, your apps, and one of the scores that jumped off the page to me was the Jets beat the Raiders 34-3. What's going on with those two teams?
That was wild. I mean, that was a shocking game. And it was just, I don't know, Steve, it's something about me. It's the nostalgist. It's the NFL 100. I really want the Raiders to be good. Like, I am unapologetically root for them just because I think they are one of 3 or 4 teams where you can say the NFL is better when they're good. I like their character. I like that they're sort of a villain. And I spent all of last week saying they got it. They got the momentum. They have this young team with John Gruden working and the Jets, blah, blah, blah. They didn't even get on the plane. That was one of the worst no-shows I've ever seen against the team. You know, fine, they're picking up, but they're still the Jets. They're still down in the dumps, and they did not show up. I think that was a great day for the Kansas City Chiefs because of what the AFC West looks like now. And listen, everybody sat there and laughed hysterically at Sam Darnold because – well, we did the mono, and then there was the ghost, and now the guy has the gall to come out and say, we still think we can make the playoffs. The math says that they won't, but everything on the field right now says that they're here playing ball, and they have this thing figured out. It's actually really cool what's going on in New York, because everybody in Manhattan just wants to hate them and just wants to make fun of them and do Photoshops and memes. They're playing good football, and Adam Gase and Darnold have it going on. So, shocking output, but I was actually proud of the Jets.
Kyle, thanks for this. Thanks for your guarantee of a Buffalo victory Thursday, and thanks for your Hall of Fame wishes for both of us, seriously.
For both of you guys, two Hall of Famers, a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to know both of you gentlemen. We'll talk next week after the Bills blow the doors off the Cowboys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Kyle.
Right, thanks, Kyle.
Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, the host of Good Morning Football. He knows his stuff, and he's brilliantly funny. Can I say that, Steve? Yeah, I appreciate his humor. I really used to
have that energy when I was less than 52, you know. But
he's great.
It's just gone now.
We thank Kyle for joining us. We're coming back with more. Come on back, 803-0550, the number to call if you've got thoughts on the Bills' biggest challenge in this game against Dallas. If you're out of town, it's a toll-free number, 1-888-550-2550. And we got to read some tweets from the tweet sheet as well. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park. Seneca Resorts and Casinos, nothing comes close.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Hey, it's time for Inside the Numbers from New York Lottery. Take a break from the expected play scratch-off games from the New York Lottery. Josh Allen, if he throws two touchdown passes, or no, he had two against the Broncos, so now he's responsible for two or more touchdowns, rushing and or passing in seven straight games, the longest current streak by an NFL quarterback. All right, welcome back. Hey, we're talking to you about this game Thursday, the Bills and the Dallas Cowboys. I will not be here tomorrow traveling to Dallas, along with the team. You'll have Matty Glab hosting with you tomorrow on the show, right?
Yep, Matty will be on.
That'll be good.
We'll chit-chat while you're eating shrimp and drinking champagne in first class on the
team first class. No, sir. Yeah. But and then Thursday, of course, the game, and then we'll be back for another show on Friday, which, as Steve said earlier, will look and feel a lot like a Monday show, day after a game. What do you think, though? What's the Bills' biggest challenge with the Cowboys this Thursday? What do you think will be the toughest hill to climb? There's a lot. I mean, it's a very, very talented Dallas team. I agree, by the way, with Kyle Brandt. I think the Bills are going to win. I'll have a score for you by the end of the show. I think the Bills are a better team. I think Dallas has a ton of talent, but I'm looking for a Buffalo win. But what's the biggest challenge the Bills face this Thursday? 900 votes in on the Twitter poll. 60% of the respondents say it's Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott, 60% of you say that's it. 27%, it's the passing game. They are the number one passing offense in the NFL, number one offense in the NFL. 9% say the Cowboys' defense, especially their pass rush. 4% have something else in mind. We got time for a couple of phone calls here. Let's go to Gene in New Jersey. Go ahead, Gene. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. I think the real key to this game is that, or one of the big keys would be, Bills tight ends need to have their best game of the season on Thursday. The Cowboys have very active linebacking core, and of course tight ends will be in the middle of most of that. So therefore, Dawson Knox can't afford to have any drops, and Lee Smith can't afford to have any untimely penalties. Also, I don't know if you guys have read this or not, but since Sean McDermott took over the Bills in 2017, they've allowed a league low 43 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
In the season, they only allowed 7 passing touchdowns. That's only the Patriots have fewer. And if you think about that, that's really an amazing stat based on, you know, how bad our offense was last year and how many bad spots that defense was put in terms of field position in that game.
Yeah, I mean, they were good pass defense last year, too. You know, they were the third-ranked defense. I could look it up. I don't know what the pass defense ranking was last year, but they were good last year, too. And we know what the strength of the Bills' defense is, right, Gene? The back end, the safeties, and the corners now, Tre'Davious especially. And now they've got a good pass rush going on. They're top 10 in pass rushing in the league. A lot of sacks in a couple of games. It's all coming together for them in that department.
Yeah, they're pretty consistent, too. I mean, yeah. you've had a couple of games where they've allowed a little more rushing yards here and there, but they have yet to lay an egg. The Philly game you can point to and say they gave up some points, and that's where that running game was really showed itself. But for the most part, this has been a team that's been solid as a rock over there, and that's been you never know going into the game how it's going to turn out, but certainly that's been one of the things this team's leaned on. And I think it almost to the point, particularly in a game like last week, I think it almost comes to a point where you can tell the coaches make different decisions in their game decisions, knowing they've got that defense to lean on. They can go a little more conservative offensively and play a field position game, knowing their defense. You've given up, 3 points? And the 3 points you gave up was because of a pick. So I think it's so good it affects the game strategy for your own team. So I think there's that as well. Do you have something else, Gene?
I think he's gone. Let's go to Tony in his car. Hello, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Oh, what a great position we're in to be able to serve up Dallas a huge plate of defeat Thursday. I'm telling you, because it's like, you know, Jerry Jones called out the coaches, called out, you know, he says they got the players, but it hasn't come together over there. But I'm telling you, what to send them back a few years away from their Super Bowl hopes to get back. I mean, we're in the perfect spot just to stick it to them. And I think if the Bills play mistake-free football and they remain disciplined, the last bunch of games, their personal mistakes have been down. You know, the penalties that you can control. You know, and if they continue to grow the way they've been the last 3-4 weeks, this could be a huge thing for them.
Yeah, I think this victory would do a lot for the Buffalo Bills. It'll give, you know, first of all, more people are going to be able to get a load of what this team is about, how they play, what it means, you know, and what they look like. A lot of people have never seen this team play this season. I'm talking about the Bills. And I think it is, I mean, this Dallas team, the reason they're having problems in Dallas and the reason there's some dissension down there and a little bit of turmoil down there is because they've got a bunch of really talented, gifted players. And that's what the Bills are going to play, is those guys. And we've seen it here before where you go in, if you've got that kind of players, if they can find the light switch and turn it on, they can embarrass you pretty quickly. And that's what the Bills have to guard against. Like you said, I think mistake-free football is the key for the Bills. But you also got to, let's face it, in a game like this, you got to make some plays. So you got to kind of throw caution to the wind once in a while as well. If you got a guy like Josh Allen, if you got guys on the outside like John Brown, Cole Beasley, you've got to continue to keep your foot on the gas if you get an edge in this game. Because you're going to have to make some plays to beat a really talented roster like this.
Let's go to the tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corgan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills' biggest challenge when they match up with the Cowboys on Thursday. James tweets in, honestly, I think it's ourselves. We can beat this team if we play our ball. We are trending up, gaining momentum at the right time of the year. We are winning this game 24-17. Go Bills. Like it. I kind of agree with you. I see a trend up. And look, I know it's only the Dolphins. It's only the Broncos, 3-7 and whatever the Dolphins were. What were they, 2-1-2? No, they won 2 in a row. But the Bills got better in those two games, Steve. They got better against NFL, low-level NFL caliber competition. Step up this week, I get that. But I think they're confident, and I think they're playing better and have found not complete answers, but some answers on offense over the last couple games.
Yeah, I agree. I think they have improved. Now, certainly you're going to look better against weaker opponents or teams that are good on one side of the ball and not on the other. Certainly the Bills' offense I think they made some strides. That was a good defense they played in against Denver. They're the number 4 defense in the National Football League. That's right about where the Bills were last year. And once again, the Bills got better offensively. They ran the ball for 244 yards against the Broncos defense. That's pretty good. So, yeah, you got to think that the Bills are getting better in a lot of areas. Whether they get the credit for it or not, it'll depend on, you know, which games they win down this stretch here. But I agree with you, Murph. I think they've gotten better. Certainly they've benefited from a soft schedule, but they've won games, continued to improve, and they seem to be getting better at this last 5 weeks of the season at the right time.
Yep, it is the right time. Our Twitter poll today, the Bills' biggest challenge with the Cowboys. Why don't you read the second one there? The
tweet. All right, go Billers. Zeke is the biggest challenge with the Cowboys by a lot. You can't overcommit to stopping him either. They're just going to have to be sharp up front. On offense, the challenge is to show up to a big-time game. They've been doing fine, but I don't quite trust that side of the ball yet, despite how good they have been. That's kind of probably sums it up for a lot of Bills fans.
Yep.
They like where the offense is, what they've shown, what they've seen, but this is a step up in class from the last two games.
It is.
From the Dolphins and the Broncos. The Cowboys are a different animal.
And the next two tweets, I think I agree with this. Michael tweets in, the biggest challenge for the Bills with the Cowboys. Michael says the offensive line hands down. And Nikki, kind of an accompanying tweet, says, I've got to go with Elliott as the biggest problem. If we cannot contain him, we might see a repeat of the Eagles game. Dak and the receivers are a threat too, but I'm more confident with our pass defense right now than if our offense can produce and avoid penalties. I say we win. I get it. I hear it.
Yeah.
I think it is. Look, I'm watching Cowboys last night. I'll watch more tonight. And Ezekiel Elliott is really good. And obviously we know that Amari Cooper's good and Dak is pretty good, the quarterback, but it's their offensive line that's the engine there, Steve. It really is.
Yeah, their offensive line is massive, and Zeke Elliott is one of those running backs you see every once in a while. He does not avoid contact. And one of those old sayings is, wow, this guy gets better in the fourth quarter. And we've said it on the show a bunch. One of the reasons running backs like Zeke Elliott get better in the fourth quarter, guys, particularly if he gets to the second level, those smaller guys just get sick of hitting him and getting hit by him. You start to flinch a little bit. He doesn't avoid contact, never avoids contact. So when you see him coming through, you're going to have to hit him and hit him hard and accept his challenge. He never ceases to bring the hit to the defender. And that wears a team out, particularly when he's got a massive offensive line giving him a head of steam before he ever sees contact.
Yep. Hey, one more thing. We got to talk about this, and this came up during the course of our show. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is out with its list of 25 semifinalists for induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are a couple of new names there, Troy Polamalu, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, a couple of others who have been previously eligible but first time as semifinalists, Kyle Banks, Fred Taylor, Ricky Waters, Bryant Young. And one of those on the list has been on this list before, 25 Hall of Fame semifinalists. Steve Tasker, sitting right next to me here, is a semifinalist. Seventh time Steve has been a semifinalist. First time since 2013. 7 years after his last appearance as a semifinalist, Steve is a semifinalist again. We talked about this in the first hour of the show. Congratulations. Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Oh, yeah, it's an honor, no question. Yeah, and it's fun.
They'll be reduced to 15 finalists on January 2nd, and then the full selection Saturday comes the day before the Super Bowl, February 1st. We've had a lot of action on Twitter, Steve, reaction to this. Let me get to a different tweet sheet, the Tasker reaction tweet sheet from Eric. Celebration, or he says, champagne for the One Bills Live crew. If Steve ever gets what he deserves, you better be elected, Steve. That sounds like a threat.
Yeah, right.
Sounds like a threat. You want me to read him, or are you uncomfortable?
No, you're
Jose,
yeah.
Number 89, Hall of Fame finalist. No one more deserving than you, Steve Tasker. From Bob. I'll be in Canton for the party of all parties. You know, Steve, if you do get elected, that's a big party. You've been to them. You've been to who? You've been to Thurman's. You've been to Bruce's. You've been to Kelly's.
Marv's, Jim's, yeah. Bill Polian's, Ralph's.
I've been to a few. That's a big party.
Thurman, Bruce, Andre.
Are you up for that?
I'm always up for that. So that should be a good time.
That'll be
I don't
a
know
great
if
time.
It'd be fun. I don't know if it'd be as fun if you were the guy, though. You know, you have to stay sober.
You have to be
right.
I was going to say you have to behave
because that wasn't the case with my boys going in. No,
I don't know if you have to stay sober. I don't think there are any rules. Steve is a semifinalist. More tweets from John. Can we please put Steve Tasker in? Dude deserves to be in. That tweeter, John, is kind of sick of this whole discussion. Can we please get this over with and put Steve Tasker in the Hall of Fame? And finally, from Scott, confidence, he says, let's go. He's got this. Twitter reaction to Steve Tasker as a Hall of Fame semifinalist for the seventh time, yes, for the first time in 7 years. Again, that means something.
Yeah, they're tweeting the two guys who have absolutely no control over any of it. So,
well, I told you, there could be a campaign.
Yeah, no.
Come on.
No, they don't need a campaign. I've always felt those guys. I've talked to all those guys. You know, all the Hall of Fame voters. I think there's 40 of them.
48.
48. Okay. So I don't know anything. So it's 48 of them. Right. 48 of them. You got to have 40 votes. You got to get 3/4 of the vote to get in, or 80% of the vote to get in. And all those guys, they're impressive guys. They know what they're talking about. They do their homework. They take it extremely seriously. They talk about all those guys. They go by the numbers and by stuff that's outside the numbers, too. I mean, it's not just, look at his numbers, compare him to this guy's numbers. There's all the thing. They include everything. So I'm not going to make any campaign. You know, I've always thought that was unneeded, and I thought, you know, you don't need to do that stuff. Those guys know it, and if you deserve to be in, they're going to see it. So sooner or later, it'll happen. If I don't, I'm good with it. Murph. I couldn't have been happier with. Well, if we'd have won one of those Super Bowls, or four of the Super Bowls, I'd have been happier.
Even a Grey Cup would have been.
Even a Grey Cup would have. I'm 0-3 in those too. So, it's great. It's an honor, no question about it. But I trust the process. Completely, and I'm not going to put any extra effort in now. I'm 22 years since I played. I'm good where I'm at. I love where I'm at.
I wish you well. I think you got a good chance, and congratulations just on being one of the semifinalists.
It's cool.
Very cool.
No question about it.
Very cool. Hey, I want to mention this before we hit the break. I got this book in the mail, Thanksgiving Football Buffalo Style, sent to me by by the author not long ago. Gary Cobb did all the research. Thanksgiving football, Buffalo. Steve, did you know, like many Bills fans are thinking, wow, the Bills are playing Thanksgiving first time ever. No, you played in 1994 in Detroit, lost a tough game at Detroit.
That's right.
Barry Sanders went wild.
Jim yeah, they opened the game with a flea flicker.
Yeah.
And kind of took control of it, and we couldn't get back on top. So
thanks to Gary's book, in the AFL, the Old American Football League, the Bills played 5 games on Thanksgiving Day
really?
In the 60s. I didn't know that till I looked this up. All of them on the road. And I do remember this game, 1975. So I was, 18 years old? But the Bills, there were 2 years when they didn't play Thanksgiving in Dallas when nobody played. They played in St. Louis. They're trying to prop up the St. Louis Cardinals. The Bills are one of those teams. 1975, the Bills had travel issues, snowstorm. The Bills arrived in St. Louis 2 hours before kickoff, got suited up, went out, and beat the Cardinals. And I do remember watching that game. They beat the Cardinals 32-14. Jim Braxton had 3 touchdowns. Can you imagine? You get to the game off the plane in St. Louis 2 hours before kickoff, played the game, and won at St. Louis. And then, of course, O.J. had the famous game Detroit Thanksgiving, 273 rushing
yards. Think about it, and we always get caught up in this Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night football, the Sunday at 1 and the 4 o'clock window and all that stuff. You think about the – it's kind of cool that the league kind of has – remember, it's November.
Yeah.
And the Bills –
5 years ago, yeah.
And we all were here and we lived through it, you know, how you know everybody's going to be – at the game, whatever. Then all of a sudden, this game gets moved to Detroit.
Yeah,
that stuff it's kind of cool when that stuff happens, right off the page, particularly when you thump the Jets.
Yeah,
as a result, which by the way, I called. I was a sideline reporter. I don't mean to call the game. I knew the Bills were going to lump those guys up.
That was
kind of fun.
It was a really fun night.
Stuff that we don't expect happens. The league adapts, makes it happen, and. Presto changeo, you get a game like you did in Detroit with it. It was like a rock. They had general seating. Remember?
Yeah. Nobody, remember when the gates opened up and all the Bills fans just shot down to the first
just
and
Just ran down
row.
The aisles. They were standing right on the – it was great until somebody had to go to the bathroom. Then you had to go to the bathroom.
You lose your seat.
Then you lose your seat.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Steve will be here tomorrow with Maddie, and I'll be back on Friday. But we've got more of this show to come, so come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. What do we learn from today's show? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Skyworks. Hey, Chris Brown joined us today, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. He took a look at practice, and we asked him our Twitter question. What's the biggest challenge for the Bills going up against the Cowboys Thursday? Here's what Chris said.
The thing that keeps rolling in my head is with all the talent that Dallas can put on the field, both offensively and defensively, you've got to win the majority of the matchups. It's about winning the matchups this week, in my opinion. Yes, the Bills play team defense, and that's part of what enables their defense to handle some of the difficult matchups. But realistically, you got to be solid across the board against this team, because if you shut down Cooper, the job's not over. You got Gallup over here, and you got Cobb in the slot. And we haven't even talked about the tight ends yet or Ezekiel Elliott coming out of the backfield. Yep. So there are so many things that have to be accounted for.
That's Chris Brown. We also had Cody Ford on the show, Buffalo's rookie right tackle. We asked Cody Ford if he, even in his initial season in the NFL, can detect what the Buffalo Bills team culture is. Here's what Cody Ford said.
You know, since I got here in the summer for rookie minicamp, you know, we've been building on team first, team first, team first, and no matter what happens, you know, we always know we got each other and, you know, we got the guy next to us. And I think building that from the summer to now has really helped us, you know, bond and things like that. And I think at this point, you know, everybody's officially bought into to what we got going on and where we want to be and where we want to go. And everybody knows the process and what it takes. And like I said, everybody's buying in. So it's just everybody's molding together and things like that, you know. And you really don't even realize it unless you sit down and observe. But you can feel it, and you can feel it in the rooms, in the locker room, and on the field.
Cody Ford, the injury report out from today's practice. Limited work for Mitch Morse and Robert Foster. No work for Ty Insecki. Full practice for Saran Neal. I've got your final, Steve. I won't be here tomorrow, but I got the Bills 21 and the Cowboys 13 on Thursday.
Okay.
You think I'm crazy?
Do I need to take time to write that down?
Or, you won't remember.
I won't remember.
I won't get credit if it happens. All right, so Steve and Maddie Glab tomorrow. I'll be on my way to Dallas. And, of course, the game on Thursday. Make sure you tune in, 4:30 kickoff on Thursday. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, travel safe, Murph. I know. It's going to be fun. Yeah,
be back and forth.
Yeah, will they have any kind of Thanksgiving stuff going on, like pregame meal?
I don't care.
Be turkey?
This is a business trip. Production assistants, George Bless.
No whiskey or anything.
George Bless, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Root, J.J. Torito, Kevin Karges, Keith Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. T's back tomorrow at noon, One Bills Live on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.